Om Shrupadaya Krishna Prasaya Budhale Shrimati Bhaktivedanta Swamini Rinamini Namaste Saraswati Devim Gauravani Prajarini Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshadarini Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabho Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare So, yesterday we were looking at a very, very important verse in the Bhagavad Gita, which was Karpanya dosha bhardasva bhava prachami tvam dharma samura jedaham. Then Yashrayasya nishidam ruhidan me shishyasteham shadhimam tvam prapanyam. Verse 7. In the second chapter, verse 7. It's an important verse. Now, that verse requires a lot of explanation to it, because if you understand that verse properly, in depth, then a lot of doubts about spiritual life will go away. Misunderstanding comes to everybody, not that anyone is free from misunderstanding. Especially in the modern world, when there is a lot of spiritual organizations and spiritual processes discussed at different levels, people simply take the institution as the guiding force in spiritual life. But if you look back into the history, you will always notice here, it's always an individual that is important in spiritual life, not the institution. Institution is there to facilitate certain things in life. But your individual responsibility in spiritual life doesn't go away with an institution. Your individual responsibility is very high in spiritual life, because you or me, the conditioned person, wants to get yourself freed from this material existence. I'm not concerned what will happen to the institution tomorrow. It may stay, it may not stay. Who knows what will happen? And history has always shown that through institutions, some individuals have come up in spiritually powerful personalities through institutions. And some instances, without institutions also, some spiritually powerful personalities have come. So you cannot clearly define that this is the only way to God. That will be very wrong to say that. That many, many people, but the knowledge doesn't change. Their realizations at the end don't change. They will always remain the same. So, about the soul we are discussing, the nature of the soul is anandam, happiness. Happiness means that blissful nature is the happiness nature of the soul. And this is what the mind is inquiring after. We discussed in the beginning that mind is looking for some bliss, some happiness in life. Narada Maharshi mentions this, that in limited things, you will only get limited happiness from that. In the Chandogya Upanishad, he says, Bhumavai Sukham, na Alpe Sukhamahi. Bhumavai Sukham. That means only in unlimited objects you will find unlimited happiness. In other words, that what is unlimited is soul. The soul is unlimited thing, isn't it? It is from the soul everything has come in this world. So if you give importance to the soul, you will find unlimited happiness also from that. Sukhamasmi. So, In the temporary things, one cannot find happiness, nor in the limited things, one cannot find happiness. So it is this thing that is what is discussed in the Upanishads as Brahmam, Brahma Swarupam. Our Swarupam, Atma Swarupam. The soul, Atma Swarupam, is a part of this Brahma Swarupam. So Brahma Swarupam you can't ignore, that is our nature. So because we do not know this real nature, our real nature, what we are confused because of this. This is what Upanishad tells us. Because you don't know your real nature, you are completely confused. Then because of that, ignorance has come to us. And that ignorance means identification with the body. Identification with the body. And this is what Arjuna is saying in that verse, Karpanyam. Karpanyam means this ignorance that has come to me of identification with the body. And suffering from that, Karpanya dosha abhakrita svabhava. Arjuna says there, isn't it? So this Karpanyam, Karpanyam is a big problem in us. It's an avidya's another manifestation. See, when you get ill, sick, if you go to an allopathic doctor, he will say either it is a germ or bacteria or this or that. He will have so many hundreds of reasons he may say to you. If you go into Ayurvedam, they will say it is vadam, pittam, kapham. Three tridhadus, their unbalances and all. They will say like that. But if you ask a Vedanti, what is the cause of the whole trouble? They say the whole problem is ajnanam, ignorance, nothing else. This is how they see the solution. Everything what they are saying to us is that Vedantis particularly are saying to us that the whole cause of our misery in this world is ignorance from their point of view. Nothing but ignorance. Ignorance of what? Ignorance of the soul. Ignorance of the soul. No realization about our identity, what we are. Once we don't understand ourselves, what's the point in knowing so many else things in this world? Millions of other things. That's the point they are making here. And that is the disease. They are saying that. What's the other problem? I do not know myself, one thing. Added to that, I know so many other things which I should not, there is no need to know. This is the two levels of ignorance. One thing, I don't know myself. That's one point. Secondly, I know many other things which I need not know. So, this is what is the Shastram, they call it as avidya. Avidya. So, in the sleep, I'm completely in a happy state, in the deep sleep, isn't it? I'm completely in the happy state. I have freed myself from the body, freed myself from the mind, from the intelligence and everything. I have freed myself and I'm happy at that time. So, the Vedanta philosophy is saying to us, that if freedom from all these things is making you happy, should you not be searching for that happiness on an eternal level, permanent level? Why do you come back to this state of consciousness again, where you have to deal with the body? If you have not seen the rope, there is no harm. There is no harm. Okay, you didn't see the rope. But if you start seeing the snake in the rope, there is a problem. First thing, you didn't see the rope. Fine, that same example what we discussed yesterday. If you didn't see the rope, there's no harm. But if you start seeing snake in the rope, it is a superimposition of your ignorance in that rope. And that is when you start seeing the snake there. So this rope and snake example is the most widely quoted example in the Upanishads as well as in the Bhagavatam also, everywhere, to make us understand that how quickly you can be cheated by your own senses. Not to trust the senses. If you trust the senses, and whatever you receive through the senses are all imperfect, we say, isn't it? We say it's imperfect, imperfect senses. But if you really analyze it, you can see how imperfect they are. And not only that, they don't give you the proper information, they'll give you some false information as well, which will mislead you. So to such an extent, you get misled from that. That that is where they say the distress is coming from. If you look into the world also, you can see the people who create maximum problems in this world are who? Do you know? The educated people. Do you see that? Think about it. More educated and more so-called advanced people, they create the maximum problems in this world. The ordinary person who just does a wages daily labor, he works, He earns his money, he comes home, he prepares some little food, eats and sleeps. He doesn't cause any problem in this world. But the so-called intelligent men in the society, they are the biggest problem also in this world. They make this world hell. You can see yourself, isn't it? And you start thinking, oh, they are all very educated. This is what has happened, this education. Why do we say like that? Because these people who so-called claim themselves to be educated, they are using their intelligence and mind in a direction, not in the right way. Education is not a wrong thing. Education is okay. But if your first step in education itself has gone wrong, completely on a wrong platform you have started, then everything will go wrong. That's what has happened to this whole thing. Now we have got problems with environmental problems, all governments are discussing meetings in Copenhagen, meetings somewhere else, in this, that, and the other. If you see their effort to bring some peaceful situation in this world, on the one hand they are creating so much unwanted things in this world, and then make the life so difficult for people, not allowing them to live in a natural way. Material nature is punishing us from everywhere. And they are also looking for solution. Why all this problem? Because there is too much brain inside. More than what's necessary. We have become too brainy. That's the problem. In fact, if Brahma has taken away another half of 80% of this, probably there will be more peace in this world. This brain has caused so much trouble to us. So, what I was mentioning that the mistake, why I was saying this mistake was that education is not bad. But what has happened is, the things which is not soul, which is called anatma vastu. Atma vastu is the soul. Anatma vastu, we started thinking it is real. This is where the whole problem started. Remember, we discussed this earlier also, that what is not a truth, you are accepted as the truth. Exactly like the way snake and the rope business. First of all, you are not seeing the truth. Truth is the soul. Soul we have ignored completely, fine. Then we have accepted all these temporary objects in this world, material world, as real. And then we started thinking they are permanent. And then we start working on top of that. This is where whole problem developed from that. And so therefore you can see there that the very basis on which we started our life and education is from a false platform. Instead of starting from the soul, that is why Vedic civilization is telling us, the sages are telling us, rishis are telling us, that if this platform on which if your life is not based, you will never be peaceful in life. You will suffer throughout. We have no choice there, because it's false thing on which you are building your the castles on this, top of this. The foundation is soul, not matter. And on that foundation of the soul, other knowledge should develop. That is Vedic knowledge. The foundation is the soul. So here what has happened is, therefore we have all this distress, what we are experiencing in this world. Then, Rahugrastha divagarendu sudrasho maya samachar kanot sanmatragara sarpasansan haranado yo aburul sushran puman. Rahugrastham. Rahu, you know the planet Rahu. Rahugrastham divagarendu. Divagaran is the sun. And Indu is the moon. So sun and the moon get eaten by Rahu, isn't it? During the eclipse time. Eclipse time. That is what the Vedas are telling us. So these are all very important things, because if you see the intelligence behind all of this, it's very logical also. It makes sense. Rahu grastha divagarendu. So when sun and the moon are eaten by Rahu, we call it as eclipse, isn't it? Similarly, when our mind and intelligence, they are sun and moon. Why? Sun is the predominating deity of the intelligence. Moon is the predominating deity of the mind. That is why we call as lunatics, isn't it? Lunar. They have a connection with the moon and the mind. Many people say also this, older people if you ask, they'll tell you that when you get very sick in your mind, the best thing is to sit outside and watch the moon. It will clear up your mind a lot. Mind, distress in the mind, yeah? So, what they're saying is that the sun is the predominating deity of the intelligence and moon is the predominating deity of the mind. So, what it says is that Chandrama Manaso Jataha. Mind has come from the moon. In the process of creation, you will notice this. The thing called mind is coming from the moon. We discussed in the third canto, it is there. That so, when the Rahu captures the sun and the moon, the soul does not, the sun does not come out. You cannot see the sun, isn't it? Nor the moon, when it is under eclipse. Similarly, when the soul is inside, but when the mind and the intelligence is covered by this illusion of Maya, the soul cannot come out in its pure form. It cannot present before us in its present form. What you have is now, the symptom, what you are experiencing of the soul right now within ourselves is, I am there. Isn't it? I exist. That much we know. But we don't know anything more than that. The soul has put a limit on us like that. So we don't know what we are, we don't know anything, but still I know that I exist. And I know very well, if you cut my hand off, leg off, still I will exist. I will never say, oh, I'm only 80% now, 20%, 20% body is gone. But very well, you are conscious that I'm still existing. And this is an important thing, that this I am existing is the one that's Spuranam. Spuranam means from the soul, it's always there, coming to us. I am existing. Ahamasmi. I am there. I don't go away at any time. I'm always there. So, it says here that if you talk about this Rahu's case, you know, Lord Buddha, he had a son by name Rahula. I don't know whether you heard about this. That Rahula was his son's name. So this Rahula, sorry. How this name Rahula came to him. That's a very interesting thing. How the name Rahula came to him. Buddha was guarded very much by his father, Suddhodana, not to go out from home, because they wanted him to grow up like a first-class prince and enjoy all the comforts and everything. Somehow or the other, one day he decided to go out and took permission from the palace and went out. That was enough for him. What did he see? I mentioned before, he saw three things. He saw the people were getting old. He saw people were getting diseased. Isn't it? And he also saw people were dying. This part of this thought in his head, will it not happen to me in the same way? Okay. So, what does it mean, all these so-called my family members, relatives and all these things? He started reflecting on it. Of course, Lord Buddha is Vishnu's another incarnation. So naturally, he had a message to, he had a mission to perform. So, when Lord Buddha started his journey and he started seeing this miseries of material life, immediately the thought went to him, will this happen to me as well? And he realized that it is happening to everybody. He also noticed that there was somebody, some yogi sitting underneath the tree, who was free from all distress in life as well. So he also understood there is a way to escape from this. This was Buddha's success. Buddha understood that problems are there, but there is a way to escape from this also. He understood that. And that is what turned his life, Buddha's life. So Buddha was, when he was away, he was thinking that I cannot get stuck in this life in the family, life in the society, and life in this and that. Rather, I should be searching for, like the yogi has done, searching for my real identity, to become free from all these kind of entanglements I have created around me. So when he thought like that, the message came from the palace that a son has born for him. That is this boy who was born for our Lord Buddha's son. So Lord Buddha replied that I'm already being caught up in all this. Now the bond is tied much more with the birth of this son. So he said, I'm going to give him the name like a Rahu who holds the sun and the moon and put them under his control. Similarly, the son who is born for me is going to get my attachment stronger to this world. And so he gave him the name as Rahulan. That's how the name came to him, Rahula. So you can see, self-realized or who are on that higher level, like Lord Buddha, they see simply as an entanglement material life. They don't see anything worth in this world to worry about or to think about, and they didn't look for a solution here. They looked for the solution in the soul, nowhere else. So what we are seeing here is that when this information came up to him, that when the ignorance captures us, our actual identity is taken away from us. That we also realize that by simply giving comforts to this body, and and if any distress comes to the body, I am in distress, and this is the only life what you see in this world, isn't it? All centered around the body. That if you live in that way, always in the bodily level, never thinking about the soul, simply maintaining the body, thinking that I can carry on like this forever, it will not work. One day it will come back and haunt us, because body is not permanent. Body is not a permanent thing. So Atmatattva means the knowledge about the soul. Without inquiring about it, without hearing about it, if one simply lives a life based on the body, which majority of the people in this world do, they live like that, isn't it? They don't have time to think about the soul. So it is a big shift in a person's life when he starts thinking in terms of the soul. In terms of the soul. Vidyarani Swamiji says like this. He says that the first thing what you have to notice is this, he says. When one starts thinking seriously about his identity and starts recognizing there is a thing called a soul, he has not realized it yet. He started recognizing in his own mind and intelligence that definitely I am not this body. I don't know what I am. I don't know I am the soul. I have not come across the soul yet. I have not realized anything. I have no knowledge. But at least I have recognized I cannot be this body. I cannot be the mind. I cannot be the intelligence. If you have come to that stage, Vidyarani Swamiji says, it's a first step in the right direction. That you have started moving towards the truth. And it's a big shift in your life as well. That recognition. It's a big shift in your life. That I am not this body. Not theoretically, but within yourself, properly thinking this way and understanding this. This body cannot be me. I cannot be this body. This body is not my real identity, in other words. If this conviction comes inside by your own analysis of your own body, your own mind, your own intelligence, if you come to this, Vidyarani Swamiji says it is the first success in your spiritual life. So this is whether you have been liberated or whether you got self-realized or not, that's another issue. That hasn't happened. That doesn't matter. What he's saying is that if you have come to this realization at least, that soul, it's me, I'm the soul, I'm not this body, that itself is a big success in spiritual life. So it is from there that the hearing process begins. From this background, that the hearing process starts. If you look into Kathopanishad will talk about this. It says here, Shravanayapi. Kathopanishad's main important point is this, that it says that Shravanayabi bahubhyom na labhya. Shrunandobi bahuom yana vidum. Asherya vakta kushalasya labdha. Shoyatva kushala anishishta. Shravanayabi bahubhyo na labhya. It says here, Shravanayabi bahubhyo na labhya. It says here, many people have heard about spiritual life, but they didn't get it. They didn't get it. So you can see, when you talk about the soul, there are so many people hearing from so many sources, but they never get it. They never get it. That's what he's saying here. Shrunayabi bahubhyom nalabhyam. Then, shrunvandobi bahavo yanna vidyu. Even after hearing it, this is the glories of the soul. Kathopanishad is talking about it. How tricky the whole thing is. Tricky means that it is a great surprise to everybody. That such a simple thing, which is inside us, which is what we are, and which is keeping this whole thing going, we hear about it and we don't get it. First thing. And after we heard about it, Shrunvan, what he says here, Shravanayabi bahubhyom nalabhya. First, we don't get it at all. And then, Shrunandobi bahavo yana vidhu. Even after hearing about it, you really don't understand what it is. Isn't it? A lot of people have got a lot of misconceptions about the soul, what soul is. So different people say, oh, soul, there is no such thing called soul. They say the soul is all over the body, present. Some people say soul is the intelligence. And in different ways, scientists and others come up with different answers. But Upanishads are clear about that. He says, Ashariya Vakta Kushalosya Labhya Labdhva. Ashariya Vakta, it means that Ashariya Vakta Kushalosya Labhya. The speaker is speaking about the soul as though it's the most wonderful thing. And the person who is listening about the soul, he is also thinking, what a glorious thing, this thing called the soul. Ashariya Vakta Kushalosya Labdhva. Shom Yatva Kushalani Shishta. That wonderful is he who knows under the instruction of an adept. That means, this understanding of the soul can only be perfect if it is heard from a self-realized soul. We are discussing here based on what we understood from the books. But a realized soul can give you the proper understanding of the soul. Nobody else who has understood, who has realized the truth. This is why Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita and in the Bhagavadam that you should approach someone who has realized the truth. Otherwise it has no meaning. Because one who has realized it can make you feel the presence of the soul. We'll discuss that next Sunday when we talk about the association of the devotees. Because these are very deep-rooted things in the Bhagavadam and Bhagavad Gita. When Krishna talks about that, he gives an importance to all these things. Of that, that means the self, which is not available for the mere hearing to many, which many do not understand even while hearing. The expounder is wonderful and the receiver is wonderful. Wonderful is he who knows under the instruction of an adept. This is a famous verse in the Kathopanishad. And this verse, Krishna has taken to Bhagavad Gita later. We will come to that later at that stage. So, what we were saying was that Sharanayabhi, many people don't get an opportunity and many people just live a life in this world and they leave this world. And they leave this world. They have been eating, they have been sleeping, and if you analyze their life at the very end of their life, if you analyze all the rice, all the dal, all the atta, suji, vegetables, ghee, sugar, if you take the account of all these things, so much that they have eaten, that's the only profit that they had it. Nothing else have happened in life. All these, so much has been consumed. If you add up all these things, what they have consumed in their life, they lived a life in this world, in the human body, and they left this world after consuming all these things and slept a lot, and they left this world and gone. What a life is that? Imagine. What kind of life is that? So, Upanishads are saying to us that what you have to attain here in this world, you didn't attain. And those who die like this in this world are called Kripana, miser. Because body was given, the life was given to us for one purpose only, self-realization. Instead of going for that, we use this life for eating, sleeping. That's what has happened. And therefore, it's called Kripana. Arjuna is saying here now to Krishna, that has happened to me now. Look at Arjuna's high culture in that person. He's saying to Krishna that I have been affected by that kind of influence. I've been influenced by that. And this cannot be the life, he's saying like that to Krishna. Yeah? We also say, When we work very hard in this world and feeling miserable about it, we'll say, oh, this cannot be the life. There should be something better than this. We say, but there, we are not looking for the truth. We are looking for some better material situation. Isn't it? Comfortable situation. But that's not what Krishna is talking about here. He's saying here that your life is simply a waste of time if you have lived like that and gone away from this world. Sometimes, you know, what happens? This is just a by chance I'm mentioning this. When being in India, you'll see this, not here so much because it's a different situation. Sometimes here also some rare situations I've read in the paper like that. Somebody become a beggar. It become his profession like that. Professional beggar, you can say. He sits somewhere and every day he sits there at the same place. So people who are passing through that place every day, they feel sorry for him. So many people, what they do, when they get there, they'll put some 10 pence or 50 pence or something and they'll just walk through seeing his plight. Misery, yeah. Now this person, what they do, he doesn't do anything else in life, so every time he gets a 10p or 50p, he'll put it underneath his seat. He'll just throw it in, you know, and he will sit there like this. So after many, many years he has done this, and one day he died and he's gone from this world. So the street sweepers or somebody came and wanted to take away his box he was sitting on. They opened the box and they saw all this money lying there, what he has been collecting throughout life. Everybody every day was giving him money and he was kept on putting it inside. He didn't know how to spend it also, because he was just thinking, I am a beggar, what can I do? I will live like this. This happened in many places, in big cities in India. You find this all the time. Here also sometimes it happens, because sometimes people live a life in this world, and then at the end, they don't know what to do. They just leave this world. And they have been very miser throughout life. They won't spend money. They have been very calculative about spending, and they are saving up all the time for hard days, they say. And then suddenly you get very sick, and you can't even manage yourself, and body withers away. And at that time, all your house and property, everything what you have kept so carefully for yourself, didn't help. It goes, someone else takes it away, and you are gone from this world. How many cases like this you read in the paper all the time, and you witness it also many times, the same thing happening. So, the thing is, this is Kripanada. This is called Karpanyam. Karpanyam means not knowing what should I be doing in this world. What all this money means at the end, what is it going to do for me? I need something to eat, I need a place to sleep. Beyond that, all these needs of the money is also very useless. It hasn't got much value to it than that. If you think, keep on stacking up and in the bank, and thinking that bank will protect me one day, we know what bank will do then. We don't have to discuss that. And you can see the material nature is so powerful that it will create a situation where you will be baffled by her potencies, what happens. So one cheating the other, and all this cheating mentality, and all this, they're all highly educated people, as I was mentioning. They are the ones who are causing all this kind of situation for us in this world. So here, anyway, important thing to remember here is how important it is to know about the soul. If we don't know the soul and we don't escape from here, we'll have to come back and suffer through this credit crunch again. Go through this whole misery of these problems, what they have created, these so-called intelligent men. And here, Krishna is saying here, that the soul which is inside here is Atma. Inside is the solid happiness that is in a person, Anandam inside. And instead of searching for him, if you continuously live a life like this, you have lost it, like the way the beggar has kept all his money inside and the soul was inside, in the same way with us. Soul is not something which has to come from outside. Remember this all the time. You see, in spiritual life we are always thinking, oh, I have to work very hard, one day I will make it, I'll get there and all that, isn't it? We think like that. There is nowhere to get to. You're already there inside you. It's not something you have to get to. Only thing is, all your attention has to shift towards that. That's all it is. We give importance, oh, I have to go to Vrindavan, I have to go to Mayapur, I have to go here, I have to go there, I have to meet this person, I'll meet that person. Whole life you're running around seeking for, looking for this person inside. Inside. This is how spiritual life turns into. That's what I was saying. This becoming something is a part of material life. I want to become this. Like as I mentioned, example, the child wants to become a pilot, or child wants to become a doctor or engineer. Or we also ask the same question, isn't it? To become something. But Shastram is telling us there is nothing to become here. It's already there inside. Only thing is you shift your attention from outside to that thing inside which you are. And once that attention goes in that direction, then there is nothing else going to happen. Who says this? Krishna's father says this. Vasudev says to Narada Maharshi, this is how the four chapters what you experience in the 11th canto came about, isn't it? Nimi Navayogi Samvyadam, Nimi Navayogi Samvadam. Nimi discussed with Navayogis, the nine sons of Rishabhadev. How did the discussion come about? One day Narada Maharshi came there. Vasudev says to Narada Maharshi, I am a Kripana, he says. These things will become much more stronger when you get older. You start thinking, all this what I have been doing in this world for what? You start thinking this, isn't it? This thought will come. If it doesn't come, then that shows that the soul has never touched him in life. That's what it means. But if it has touched you a little bit, this thought must come. So Vasudeva and Devaki were together, happily living in Dwaraka, and never had any problems. Krishna and Balram as the children, what more do you want in life? So they were living very happily like that. But when they started feeling that one day Krishna is going to go, everyone will be here for a day. He says to Narada Maharshi, we made a big mistake. We are Kripanas, he says. It's not like Arjuna said here. We are Kripana. Because all these years, we were thinking Krishna is our son. We lived on this illusion. Krishna is our son. We never tried to find out who Krishna is. That means the benefit what you should have got from Krishna didn't get it yet. What? The transcendental realization hasn't happened. So they says to, Vasudeva says to Narada Maharshi, this is what has happened in our life. Please help me. Who arranged this? Krishna arranged that. Narada Maharshi to come. Narada Maharshi used to visit Dwaraka very often before. But not once Vasudeva thought of asking this question. That's the most interesting thing. Many visits Narada Maharshi has made to Dwaraka. And Vasudeva has seen him. But all those times, Vasudeva never thought of asking these questions to Narada Maharshi. But at this juncture in life, Vasudev got to this point that I should ask Narada Maharshi about life, something. What am I living for? And then he asked this question, and in reply to that, Narada Maharshi quoted this conversation between Nimi and Navayogi, and that we find in the four chapters, starting with Kavi Hari Andariksha Prabuddha Pippalayanin, Avirhotroshadramala Chamasakara Bhajana, the nine sages, nine questions and nine answers from Janaka Maharaj's palace between King Nimi and Narada Maharshi. So, it is then that Sri Narada Maharshi instructed Bhagavata Dharmam to Vasudev. Bhagavadam to Vasudev. So, Arjuna also is not a newcomer to spiritual life. He also studied, he also is educated, he's not an ignorant person. Is educated, and he also has heard about Vedantam and everything, and also he knows the terminologies of the Vedanta philosophy as well. But actually, the difficulty is we all hear, but it doesn't get enough affected by it, what we have heard, isn't it? I think there is a saying in English, is that many hear, but hardly anyone listens, isn't it? There's a saying like that, isn't it? Many hear, but only hardly anyone listens. So hearing and listening is two different things. Hearing we all hear. Remember that example we discussed before, that the story of the palace where three skeletons were brought in. And we are mostly these hearers. Who hears goes like that. The one that has gone in and who listened and gone in, he is the one who is actually listening. He is not hearing, he is just listening. So that's why Shravanam, the hearing process, is given a lot of importance. And if it's not spoken all the time, our old hearing habit will come. We will hear something, we will evaluate in our mind something, and we'll throw it away, saying that, oh, it's not something very important. I've heard all this before. This is how that statement comes. I've heard all this before. I don't have to hear it anymore. I've heard all this before. But what has happened then? Nothing has happened. So what's the use of that hearing? So this is what Krishna is talking about, that when it comes to the heart and it becomes affects us, then it becomes a real success of Shravanam. Shravanam becomes a success. And Upanishad stories are there, many like this, where importance of hearing is stressed. There is one Upanishad where there is a little boy called Satyagama. That was his name. Satyagama. The name itself is interesting. It's looking for the truth. Satyagama. He goes to his spiritual master. When he goes to spiritual master at a very early age, so he was probably 6 or 7 years old, and the spiritual master tells him, understood that this person is very matured, pakkvam, pakkvasthiti, he has come to very pakkvam for hearing, right? So they can find out, a proper spiritual master will know by seeing a child, 7-8 years old, what state of maturity he has got to hear Vedanta philosophy here. Sometimes even at the point of 80, 90 you are not ready. Sometimes at the point of 8 you are ready for the spiritual realization of the truth. Yeah? Only when he feels that the person is ready, he will instruct. Otherwise he won't instruct. That is the system. You should not instruct anybody unless he is ready for it. Because if you instruct people without, when they are not ready for it, what will happen is they will all get confused inside, first thing, what they have heard. Then, because inside they are not ready to receive the message properly, the thought process inside will also cause confusion in their mind a lot. So Krishna says, na buddhibedam janayel. You should not confuse people with things like that. Satyagama went to the forest and he was hearing. He wanted to hear and get instructed by the very matured child, very matured, ready for receiving the truth, right? So what did the Guru says to him? Guru says to him, Satyagama, that you go to the forest. I'll give you 10 cows. Take them with you. Take these 10 cows with you. When they become 1,000 cows, you come back to this ashram again. And I will instruct you at that time, he says to him. When these 10 cows, which was maintained by the spiritual master, he can take them with you and go to the forest and stay there. And when they become 1,000, you come back to me. I will instruct you. Can you imagine the instructions, what they gave those days? Huh? So Satyagama goes with the cows to the forest. When he went to the forest, he left the cows there. In the forest grazing, and he sat there and he started thinking, who am I? First thought in his mind, who am I? Why am I here? What is the purpose of this life here in this world? What's going to happen to me after leaving this body? Very, very natural thoughts in a person, isn't it? You see, artificially we have created a lifestyle today, what we have. That's why we think as soon as a child gets 2 or 3, Toys R Us whole thing should be brought in front of him. Isn't it? This is how we train the children. We don't allow the child to grow naturally. The whole Lego and Toys R Us are in front of the child. And how will the child will think about what I am here for? Child will only think, this is not bad, I can play as long as I like. And he demands more and you keep on supplying more. So poor fellow, his whole life is gone with the toys. So whereas here, this cows association, first thing. Secondly, in the forest. Second thing. Thirdly, inquiring nature inside of Satyagama. All these things combined together, Satyagama kept thinking about this day after day. And whenever he felt hungry, he will milk some cow, drink some milk, and sleep in the forest. This was the type of people they were. They were not wasting their time to develop their bodily comforts and bodily enjoyment, because the thoughts and the Upanishads were behind it to give this understanding to them. Naturally, it shows that Satyagama, even before he had come to the Guru, already he had some spiritual background at home. From somewhere he must have acquired this vasanas inside so strongly to think like that. So Satyagama, eventually what happens is, when he was sitting like this, one day, he was sitting and thinking, reflecting on this, one bull, one of them, has come to him and says to Satyagama, Satyagama, we have become 1,000 now, we can go home. The bull speaks to him. We have become 1,000 now, we can go home. One of the bulls tells him. So, the bull starts the first instruction to him about the truth, Brahma Vidya. So, Brahman realization or self-realization can happen through various sources in this world. Krishna has set it up everything in this world. Only thing, we have to learn how to take advantage of all these things. In that Upanishad, it's an important Upanishad, it says that the first instruction started with this bull. When bull instructed a part of the Brahma Vidya, that evening when he lit the fire god came out and started instructing Satyagama about it. And then when he was bathing in the morning, the water demigod Varuna came and instructed him on Brahma Vidya. Then the sky started instructing, the tree started instructing. He had so much instructions on Brahma Vidya, on the self-realization from different devadas. They are all different devadas, isn't it? Different demigods present in this world. It is they who control our body as well, through different senses, mind, intelligence, everything. Like, as I mentioned, sun is the predominating deity of our intelligence. If the moon is the predominating deity of the mind. Similarly, Brahma, Vishnu, they are all predominating deities. Indra, Chandra, Varuna, they are all predominating deities in this body. It's a list given in the Puranas, who is who. Upanishads also says this. So, what happened to Satyagama was that due to his endeavor in self-realization and due to his natural curiosity to find the truth, he was able to communicate with all these devadas. All the devadas started communicating with him in a natural way because of his spiritual advancement. When he became qualified, these devadas will come and start instructing you. When you become qualified, we live such a life. We don't know who devadas are, we don't know what they are doing. We just know only one, eating, sleeping. That's all what we know about life. Nothing else, isn't it? Whereas their life was very subtle life. In a subtle world they lived. They looked at this world not to exploit. They looked at this world as Krishna's creation. They saw in this creation the truth must be here. Because this whole world has come from him. So the truth also must be here in this world to learn. So their mind and thinking was so different than the way we think about life. For us, even after talking about it million times, we'll still we are thinking, is it true or not? So whereas for them, that difficulty didn't exist. So after this, all these things happened. When he started receiving all these instructions from different devatas, Satyagama said, now I can go to the teacher, Gurukula. So he called all the 1,000 cows and bulls, they all followed him. They all followed him. You see, spiritually advanced state is this, that your communication with all other living entities becomes very peaceful and perfect. They will obey you and they will not question your, because you are not selfish, you are doing things in a proper understanding, they will listen to you, what you say. So the cows all followed him very diligently towards the ashram. When they got to the ashram, Guru was sitting there. From a long distance, he saw Satyagama coming with the 1,000 cows and the bulls and all together walking in. As soon as he saw him, the Guru says that you already realized, because he could see the Brahma Tejas coming from him. That realized state was, he could notice that because he was a realized soul. He could see him. He did not want to instruct any more to him. But for formality's sake, when Satyagama came in, he instructed him Brahma Vidya on a routine basis and told him, you can go home now. So Satyagama goes home after this. Upanishads talks about this as an important thing in life, that if you are not ready for reception, you yourself have to prepare for that, for spiritual life within yourself. You should not mix it with so many other things in life. Other things are not that important as the spiritual life is. So generally we want to take shelter of material life. That's our nature, isn't it? Why? Because of the identification with the body. That's why we find shelter in material life. Why we go to work, why we go to so much struggle in life to maintain this body? Because we are in the body. Right? So we never came out of the body any time. The thoughts that never occurred to happen to us. So you can see here that when the child came back, he was sent back for the after the instructions. Satyagama mentioned to his spiritual master everything what has happened. And after that, he realized that he is ready for listening, for Shravanam. That so when that thing has happened to someone like Satyagama, his spiritual master understood he is ready. And now, in Bhagavad Gita, you notice that the same situation has come for Arjuna also. Arjuna is ready now to hear. Up to this point, Arjuna was not ready. Arjuna was talking. So because he was talking, Krishna was not talking anything. Krishna was not talking anything. He was just saying. So now, with this verse, the clear signal to Krishna that Arjuna is ready to hear. So it is such an important thing in spiritual life that we are ready to hear about the truth. Karpanya dosha abhakrita svabhava prachamitvam dharma sammuda chetaha. Many things have happened in Arjuna's mind now. If you look at it, first he admits that Kripanada has come to me. Karpanya dosham. Kripanada. This mentality which I have discussed so far. What is that mentality? I am this body. I have to look after this body. This is what I am living for. This is a very low understanding of life. Very, very low understanding. And you can see majority of the people in this world live on this understanding. That I am this body and I have to maintain this body. That is why all these big people who are doing big business in this world, you see they are running around all over the world. If you ask them, what are you doing this for? They also don't know what they are doing it for. Just the madness of the whole thing. And because they are very serious about the business, what they are doing, you can't even ask them anything, what you are doing it for. But if you come out of all these things and sit quietly and think about it, is life centered around all these things, what we are seeing? Life cannot be. It has to have something different. Karpanya dosham, that is called karpanya. That kripanada has come to me, to think that this body is the whole thing and maintaining this body is the only business in this life. This is karpanya. Not knowing I have something higher than all these things. Because inside, he is telling me, ahamasmi, ahamasmi, ahamasmi. He is telling this. Every beat in the heart, this is what Krishna is telling us. That I am here, I am here, I am here. We are not recognizing that. Why the heart is beating? He is there, that's why it's beating. If he is not there, it won't be beating. Isn't it? So, that we won't notice it. We have completely turned our head from there to somewhere else. Prachamitvam dharma sammuda chedaham. The second problem, what has happened to him is, when this kripanada or karpanya dosham gets very heavy in a person, he becomes dharma sammuta cheda. He does not know what is the right thing to do in life. This will only happen to people who are kripanas, who has got this karpanya dosham. What is the right thing to do in life? Because often you will see materially very opulent and living very opulent life, materially, they will always ask this question in their mind, inside. One day they'll say, what am I doing all this for? I made so much money. Now what am I going to do with this? All this. Then they start looking for charity, creating foundation, this, that and the other. But higher than all that thing is, this inquiry is more important. Karpanya dosha abhakrita svabhava. That prachamitvam dharma sammuta cheda. This is indicating to us that Arjuna's case, for example, you can see Shishyasteham Shadimam Tvam Prapannam. Unless a disciple surrenders completely to the spiritual master, completely he surrenders unto him, only then the instruction from the spiritual master will have any impact on the disciple. This is a mandatory or absolute requirement in spiritual life. This is an absolute requirement in spiritual life. That is why Vedavyasa has taken enough time in Bhagavad Gita to point out this to us. That if you are not ready for surrender completely like that, do not expect any success in spiritual life in a big scale. You are going towards that goal, you are working hard to get to surrender to that stage. But if you have not surrendered, completely. Surrender is a big thing. It's not a simple thing, we make it out of it. Surrender is a big thing in spiritual life. Modern institutions have a different approach towards that. And sometimes you wonder, here you can see Arjuna is a person, Krishna is a person. One person is surrendering to another person, and it has to be in that level only. It cannot be that I surrender to an institution. Or when you are told that, okay, a disciple says to spiritual master, I will surrender unto you. The spiritual master is telling the disciple, fine, you have surrendered to me. Now you take all instructions from the authorities in the institution. That means he also has not understood what the problem, what the false correct understanding. Here from Bhagavad Gita you see very clearly, Arjuna is surrendering, is a person. Krishna is a person you are surrendering to. This is not some institution, PLC, you are surrendering. You are surrendering to that person because you have recognized that person has got the capacity to take you out of your miserable situation. Miserable situation is what? Ignorance in you. That's why you have surrendered to him, to that person. You are surrendering what? Your false ego to him. You can't surrender your false ego to an institution, can you? You can only surrender your false ego to a person. That is why this whole thing of surrender should not be made a institutional thing. It has to be on an individual level basis. Individual basis, the surrender must happen. And that is how that relationship will have the strength. Once it so happened that there was a great personality who was a spiritual master, and somebody from the West came to him looking for spiritual guidance. So he told him, fine, you have come to me, fine, I don't have a problem with that. But are you, he says to me, I surrender unto you. He said, please instruct me, he said, like Arjuna said, I surrender unto you. So he said, let me make this surrender a bit clearer to you, he said, the Guru. He says, before we talk anything further, I want first your agreement on all these things, then we can take it further, he said. He says, I may not instruct you anything throughout life. Are you willing to surrender unto me? I may not give you any instructions throughout life. Will you surrender unto me? He says, so this man started thinking, how can it be? He's not going to instruct me anything. Then what's the point? What am I supposed to do here? Staying here. Then he says to him that sometimes if you don't get any food in this ashram, you should not complain to me. Don't ask me that why I didn't get any food. Are you willing to tolerate that? If you get sick or if you get anything, I won't be showing any compassion to you. Are you willing to tolerate that? He says. He wanted to make him realize that surrender is not a cheap thing. Surrender means real surrender, proper surrender. That's what is called prapatti in Shastram. Shishyasteham shadimam tvam prapannam. That word prapannam is this. Prapannam means that I have no other shelter except you. That kind of surrender. That is prapannam. If you don't make that surrender, that means you're not ready. It doesn't matter. You're not ready for it. So what? My false ego is still not allowing me to do that. And I have still a lot of questions to be answered inside. So I continue with the spiritual life. But what I'm saying is, before we make this issue of guru and disciple, we must understand at what point this can happen. This surrender can happen. This can only happen at this point. Shishyasteham shadhimam tvam prabhannam. When I am completely surrendered to you, only then instruction should be given. Now, when you have surrendered, what does that mean? It means your false ego has been completely subdued. False ego is completely subdued. You see, in the school, the students go to school. What happens there? Students are saying, I paid my money, the fee. I have paid the fees, isn't it? Now, it's up to him to teach me. Whether to learn it or not, it's my choice. This is the student is saying today in the school, yeah? He's saying that I paid my fee, so it's for his. I paid him, so he has to teach me. I paid him for that. He's paid for that. He should do that, he says. But whether to learn it or not, that's my choice. With this attitude, if you come to Bhagavad Gita, you won't get anywhere. you won't be able to understand Bhagavad Gita. You will learn anything from Bhagavad Gita in this. You can't study Bhagavad Gita like that. That's what I'm saying. All these things, if it comes to on a commercial platform, these problems come in. We should not commercialize Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita is Krishna's words. It has a very high value in this world. We should not, under any circumstances, bring it under the control of money. Under the control of, because that shows that the mundaneness comes to it. Surrender is a very high, noble process, it is. Very noble thing. And surrendering to a higher person is a very high thing, it is. And if you pollute all that with your commercial mood behind it, then that means that you also have not understood what Krishna is talking about. Vedavyasa Maharshi is not saying for nothing these verses, Karpanya Dosha, Avahrata Svabhavam. Each of those words in this verse, it has its own meaning and its own significance. Otherwise, you wouldn't have used that. Dharma Sammuta Chedaha. Dharma Sammuta Chedaha. Nishrayasan. Nishrayasan. Eshrayasan. Nishchidam Bruhi Tanme. Shishyasteham Shatimam Tuam Prapanyam. Please, for my behalf, for me, my sake, decide yourself and tell me what I should do. This is that clarity in the surrender. That I am incapable of making a decision. I don't understand what is right and wrong. I don't know what is dharmam and adharmam. And I am surrendered unto you. I am your disciple. So, you, from these words, you can understand what a disciple means. Isn't it? What a disciple means. At what stage you can call yourself as a disciple. And what stage you can call a spiritual master as a spiritual master. So, Shishyasteham Shadhimam Tuam Prapannam. It is a very, very important verse. That this false ego subdued, this false ego inside, only then the spiritual knowledge will come. When the false ego is subdued. That if it happens, if the false ego is subdued somehow, the instructions will even come from inside a person. What is the right way to go further? Arjuna, what he has done is an unconditional surrender here. Arjuna is saying here, what is the symptom of Sharanagati? Sharanagati is surrender, isn't it? He says here, Sosmin dinanja bhavena rakshagatvam cha ishware, ishwarascha or guruscha. That I am helpless, I am miserable, I am useless. This thought inside, and at the same time, person whom you are taking shelter, whether it is a spiritual master or Krishna himself, we should know that he has got the capacity to protect you, and he has got the capacity to save you from your crisis in life. What is the nature of me? Nature is like this, that I am pure. By nature I am told, I am pure. Soul is pure, full of knowledge, completely free. And Atma is not bound by anything. It has no bondage and it is totally liberated. So, if it is that the nature of the soul, that it is only due to this Karpanya Dosham, that it has been covered. And Karpanya Dosham means narrow-mindedness. That Shariram, all the material body is the real thing. I am this body. And everything that is related to the body is important. And in this way, my mind has become very gross and dead. That is the problem with this. That when these thoughts become very strong with the body, that I am this body and the bodily attachments and bodily objects gives comfort to the body is important, what will happen to us is our mind will become very gross, stulam, and also very dead, jadam. Stulam and jadam. That is the nature of the mind. So, Krishna is saying here that this avidya, what has happened to us, Mahabharatam, it is also trying to solve this problem in Mahabharatam. Mahabharatam, how they are trying to solve this problem is, Mahabharatam, as you know, was written by Vedavyasa Maharshi with one goal. What was that goal? To clarify dharmam and adharmam. Dharmam is the objective in Mahabharatam. If you remember, keeping dharmam as the objective, Mahabharatam, 125,000 verses were written to teach us what is dharmam. That is why in Mahabharatam, everything is centered around dharmam. Varnashramadharmam, Purushadharmam, Sridharmam, Rajadharmam, Kuladharmam, all kinds of dharma were spoken in Mahabharatam. And at the end of that, Vedavyasa Maharshi is saying, still I don't know how to define dharma. I still cannot say what is dharma in a person. It's a very important thing, because we go after dharma in this world, isn't it? So dharma also has its own, it's one of the most difficult thing to understand, what is the right thing to do in certain situations in life. Because we just cannot make the right decision. You will see, it's not only us, we are small people, big leaders in this world are also confused, equally like us, when it comes to the making these decisions are concerned. And they go wrong. But the only thing is, when they go wrong, they can run away from the position. After 5 years, they can escape from that. After they have made blunders in their decision making. And they will keep on justifying it. That, oh, I made a mistake, they will never say that. But then what can you do? We don't know what the dharma is. Huh? Dharma means, it's a very difficult thing to find out the answer. What is the right dharma? That is why we have to go back to the sages. The rishis only can tell us what is dharma. Only rishis will tell you how to find that dharma, what is the right dharma. So, tarka pradishta apradishta shrutayo vibhinna naso rishir yasya matham na bhinnam dharma se tattvam nihidam guhayam mahajano yena gathasa pantha. This is a verse in the Bhagavatam in the 6th canto. Tarka pradishta. In order to find out what... You see, sages were very clever people. Very clever. They were trying to help us. Thinking about... Clever in the sense that they said that all the other economy problems and all you can solve. It's not a big thing. That as long as you keep your life simple, it's not a big issue. But how to act in this world properly is more important than that. How to act in this world. Modern civilization gives importance to economic development, not how to act in this world. Because, and what happens? Economic development happens, then it develops into war and fight and kill each other. That's what ultimately ends up with, isn't it? Whereas the sage's attitude is, economic development is not an issue. Whatever you need to eat, you will find food in this world. Krishna will provide. They had their absolute faith in Krishna's capacity to maintain us. That's first thing. Secondly, they knew a lot of distress that's coming is only due to their own karma that has followed them. So, it's a completely different way of looking at life. But they did think how to act in this world properly. That's why they were looking for finding out the proper dharma. So, tarka pradishta. Then the discussion started. Different philosophies came about this tarka pradishta. So, tarkam, through logic, they were trying to find an answer. They couldn't. Shrutayo vibhinnaha. That although they couldn't find any conclusion after discussions, they started consulting Shruti, the Vedas. But even after consulting Vedas, they found out, Shruti is also talking to us in different ways. In somewhere it says Karmakandam is important, somewhere it says Jnanakandam is important, somewhere it says Bhaktikandam is important, Upasana Kandam, somewhere it says sacrifices are important. All sorts of things are given in the Vedas also. So people do get confused while consulting Vedas. What is the right solution to that? Then, what is the next option? Nasau rishir yasya matham na bhinnam. The next option is to go to great sages who have realized the truth. But even there, we have difficulty. If you go to one sage, he will say, tell you one solution. Another sage may give you something different than that, a solution. So there also you are confused. Then it says, Nasahurashir Yasyamatam Nabhinyam. They are different again. Dharmasya Tattvam Nihidam Guhayam. The Tattvam or the truth behind Dharma is a very, very confidential thing. It's a very, very confidential thing. It is inside us. That's what the conclusion of the Rishis. This Dharmasya Tattvam is inside you, Guha, in the cave inside. Why? Follow the Mahajanas who have done that in the past. Follow their path. Mahajano yena gadasa pandha. Whatever routes they have gone through, go through the same route, you will be okay. Who are the Mahajans? Give you an example. That in Ramayanam, this case of Ramachandra killing Bali is a questionable thing for many people, isn't it? Bali hasn't done anything to Ramachandra, but Ramachandra killed him. So every time when Ramayana is discussed, people ask this question. Do you think Ramachandra has done the right thing? They ask this question about Bali. Just to help Sugriva, Balaramchandra, it appears externally like that, isn't it? Ramchandra has gone and killed Bali. Bali says to Ramchandra, if this is all what you wanted, I would have brought that Ravana, tie him down with my tail and brought him here in front of you. Bali was a powerful person, he was not a weak personality. So why did you go through all these things, he says to Ramchandra. And few chapters in Ramayanam is this Bali's lecture to Ramchandra. In Valmiki Ramayanam, if you look, you will see there Bali's lecturing to Ramchandra for a few chapters on this issue. And people read through this and they can start thinking that has Ramchandra done the right thing? Ramchandra done the right thing. Well, this question came up. So Ramchandra, after Bali was killed, Ramchandra came up with the answer. He gave the answer to that. He says to Bali, Bali, I don't need to consult on this issue with anyone. What is dharma and what is adharma? I have consulted that person inside and I have made that decision after that. So Ramchandra can say that because Ramchandra is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He can say that. In our life, we are still confused. We are not Ramchandra, we are ordinary people. So there, that's what it is saying here. Mahajano yena gadasapantha. Whatever the great people have done in this world in the past, follow their footsteps. Then you won't have a crisis in life about dharma. The crisis in dharma is only coming from this, that we are not following the right people. We are following the wrong people. Instead of following the great sages and the rishis and taking the instructions from them, we are taking instructions from the history book and from the politicians and the scientists and all the modern philosophers and all that. They cannot be the guiding force in life. Because they just don't know what is dharma. They are equally confused as we are confused about life. So that is the result of that. That's what Krishna is saying here, that tarkapradishta shradayo vibhina. So that story, Ramchandra says, the pramanam means the authority for dharma is not a book, he says. That for jnanis, for realized souls, their authority is their own heart. That from the heart inside, the soul will tell them that what to do and what not to do. And one who has found the soul, like Ramachandra's case, they cannot go wrong. Whatever they have done will be the right thing. It will never. In other words, self-realized souls, whatever they say, ultimately that will come true. That will come true. And whatever they do, will be dharma. One who have not realized the soul, whatever they do at every step will be a crisis in life. So one who has realized the truth, for him Arjuna, like in the case of Krishna is self-realized all the time. Ramchandra is self-realized all the time. He's saying to Arjuna, kill. He's saying to Arjuna, you kill now, get up and fight. Isn't it? Yudhyasva. He says, Yudhyasva. So, so when Krishna is said like that, there must have been a reason. Otherwise, Krishna wouldn't speak like that. You think Krishna has no compassion, like Arjuna has shown all this compassion to all his family members and all that? No. Krishna also has compassion. But compassion at the right place, to the right people. In this situation, Krishna decided they don't require any compassion. Inside, the instruction has come from inside, Krishna's instruction, that they have to be killed. Krishna has decided that way. Now, similarly, what we have to realize here is that Krishna also knows Arjuna's nature. Arjuna's nature. That, that every individual in this world is created with vasanas inside. Listen, we have our individual vasanas. And this vasanas has to come out. It cannot stay inside. If you keep it inside, it will not go. It will wait for an opportunity to come out. So therefore, Krishna says to Arjuna, Arjuna, you are a kshatriya. Your vasana is for fighting. Yeah? From all, we'll see when you go to a little later, after about 10-12 verses, you will see how in different ways Krishna is convincing Arjuna on this issue, very issue of fighting. Yeah. So here what you are noticing here is, he says to Arjuna, Arjuna, you are a Kshatriya, you have to fight. Arjuna's vasanas are Kshatriya vasanas, he has to fight. He can't refrain from that. So he says to him that if I give you sannyasam, it's not going to help. Because I gave you sannyasam once, what happened? You know what happened. He took Subhadra and ran away with her. So to such a person telling him, talking about, because that vasana is inside him. Kshatriya kings were all like that, isn't it? You know, in the ninth canto of the stories, if you read, all Kshatriya kings lived a very, very happy material life, and they all threw it away, everything at the last minute, went to the forest and got self-realized and went back to the spiritual world. It is their histories in the ninth canto of Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam is important from this angle, that it is not that only Brahmanas have got self-realized. No, Kshatriyas also got self-realized. They executed everything what they had to do in this world, and some of the Kshatriya kings who had 40 wives, 50 wives, and all those things. Mandhada's story, if you read, Saubari Maharshi's story, all that, they all became, Vishwamitra's story, if you read. Every one of them were not lacking in all these things. Their material life was also very high lifestyle they lived. But the one thing they all knew, that went to throw it away, all these things. That's a big step in life. When you live a life like that, and to go to the forest and subject the body and the senses to such severe austerities, and to inquire for the truth, and Krishna has given them that realization also at that point. So Arjuna's nature, as you have seen here, Krishna knows very well that the nature is like this. It's no point in stopping Arjuna from fighting. If I stop him from fighting, what will happen is that the vasanas will work again. He'll come out with this. It is vasanas that is driving us at every step in life, what we are doing. So it's better to allow that vasanas to get fulfilled in that way. So that you, only thing is, we should be careful not to create new vasanas in us. At least fulfill that vasanas and finish with it. Not sense gratification, I'm saying the vasanas to continue with the work in this world. Not that we should throw away all the work and everyone joins Bhaktivedanta manner and get involved there and everything. That's not what Krishna is saying here. Krishna is saying that vasanas, according to vasanas, you work in this world. And finish up, because you have come here to this world because of this vasanas. Until the vasanas are gone, you should have to carry on doing what you are doing according to your vasanas. That's what Krishna says here. That he says here that his vasanas is covering his soul. Whose vasanas are the subhavam, or the nature of Arjuna, is covering his soul. And that is why this crisis came to him, what to do and what not to do. And once a question was asked like this, that what should I do and what I should not do? The answer to all this question is that if you find your real identity, who you are, then these questions won't come up again. So if you want to come out of this crisis of dharmam adharmam, what to do and what not to do, the real solution to that problem is inquire and find out who you are. Find out your real identity. And otherwise, all this has no meaning. Krishna has arranged in such a way, he has created certain vasanas in us due to our association, and he has given us an opportunity to fulfill those vasanas. Whatever that has to happen in this world through us will happen. Whatever that has to happen in this world through us will happen. And only what we have to think, that we have to become an instrument in Krishna's hands. That Krishna has given me this work to do today, I have to do that work. In that mood, if you take it, it will make us work in a particular way. If we act in that way, the false ego won't act. False ego won't take control then. But the moment you start thinking in terms of false ego, it is then that you are taking the ownership and the results, all that comes from that. But so long as we know that for maintenance of the body, with the vasanas inside, I have to carry on with doing certain things in this world. If I do it in that detachment mood and carry out my work, it will never affect us at any stage. That is one thing what Krishna wants to point out here. That all the jnanis are also thinking in the same way. That some superior higher force is working through me. And therefore he says, Pachami tvam dharma samuda chedaha. Muda chedaha. Muda chedaha means, you know the word mudha. Mudha means completely ignorant or foolish or whatever you can call it. This mudha is a word which you will come across very often in the Vedic literature. And it is not spoken with any kind of insult to anybody. It's only with reference to with one word, that one whose intelligence is infected with illusion. One whose intelligence is infected with illusion. Mudha also means to think that a dead matter is real. Dead matter is real. There is truth in that. And it's permanent. The same mistake what we spoke about before. So when one starts thinking like that, that is mudhatvam. Mudhatvam, the word is coming from that. Bhaja govindam, govindam, bhaja mudhamate. Ajahn Swamiji says, mudhamate. You are a mudha, he says. Why? You are not serving Krishna. Bhaja govindam, serve Krishna, serve Krishna, serve Krishna, he says. Mudhamate, whose intelligence is a mudha, he says. Samprapte, sannihide, kale, nahi nahi rakshati dukran karane. All your so-called knowledge of the Shastram, knowledge of studies of everything, and all your understanding will not help you. What you have learned in your throughout your life, unless you do this, unless you serve Krishna. Nahi nahi rakshati, there is no shelter for you. Dukran karane. Dukran karane means it's a kind of a prefix and suffix in the grammar in Sanskrit, which requires many years of learning to master that, and you have spent all your energy doing all that, and now you are trying to use that for your spiritual life, which won't help you ultimately if you don't surrender to Krishna. He wants like that. Samudha chedaha. So then he says, then he says here that, please instruct me, isn't it? He said, what did he say? Yes, shreyasyal nishchidam bruhi danme shishyasteham shadimam tvam prabannam. Instruct me what is Shreyas for me, he says here. What is Shreyas for me? Shreyas and Prayas. We have talked about this, and all of the people know what is Shreyas and Prayas, I'm sure. Everybody knows what is Shreyas and what is Prayas, isn't it? But Shreyas and Prayas, if you want to properly understand, you have to look at Kathopanishad. In Kathopanishad, we'll tell you what is Shreyas and what is Prayas. So, in the second canto of Kathopanishad, it says, Shreyascha prayascha manushya medha stav samparitya vivinakti dhiraha shreyohi dhiromi prayaso vranite prayo mando yogakshemat vranite. This is the statement in the Kathopanishad. Then, Shreyascha prayascha manushya medha stav samparitya vivinakti dhiraha. One who has understood the difference between Shreyas and Prayas, he is a person who can discriminate properly in spiritual life. That means, Shreyas is coming from, where does Shreyas comes from? Shreyas comes from when you start identifying with the soul. Prayas comes when you start identifying with the body. This is the basic difference. Because moment you identify with the body, your activities will be centered around the body. For bodily comforts, bodily happiness, and bodily enjoyment. All these things will come from prayers. That is called prayers. The moment your attention is shifted to the soul, and you start thinking in terms of the soul and spiritual happiness, that is called Shreyas. That is called Shreyas. So that is what Kathopanishad is saying here. Shreyascha prayascha manishya medastav samparitya vivinakti dhiraha. The man of intelligence who having considered them separates the two. He has to separate them. What is prayas and what is shreyas? Imagine how the sages were sharp in their head that they won't allow anything to enter into their heart which gives pleasure to the body. So alert they were, jagrata, jagrata all the time. Because if you allow the body to take over your mind and thinking, then you lost it. You lost it. You can never think about the soul. So all this time, great alertness is needed inside. Jagrata all the time. Something, when some sense enjoyment is offered to you, you should immediately think, oh, am I getting too absorbed in the body? That fear must come inside. That's not Shreyas and Prayas difference comes. when we have too much tamoguna inside, what happens? We will always thinking I am this body. We will never think I am different than the body. That's the nature of tamoguna. That's the nature of tamoguna. And that's why whatever is spoken, still it's not going in and making any effect on the person, impact on the person. Never mind, it happens. All of us have come through this stage at some point in time in life. Every one of us go through that. So it's not the end of the world. Important thing is, as much as we are told about shreyas and prayas, that we start seeing, I need to look for shreyas, not for prayas. Prayas I am getting from this world without any endeavor, too much endeavor. So, it says here, the intelligent one selects the electable in preference to the delectable. Shreyo hi dhiro hi prayaso vrinite, prayo mando yoga kshemaan vrinite. The one who takes the prayers for the sake of body, he is less intelligent, he is manda. Manda, he says. Manda means less intelligent. Prayo manda. Prayas is manda, less intelligent person. Why? Yoga kshemaan vrinite. He is only concerned about his body. So, when Upanishads are discussed by the sages, rishis, and when Upanishads are discussed by the highly learned people, all of them are very austere in their life. They keep their life very much under control, body, mind and bodily needs, everything. And because they are spiritually gone very high, they give very least importance to the body, and bodily discomforts and bodily problems, everything, don't bother them anymore. So, because Shreyas has given them the strength for that, not the prayers. If we fall into this illusion of prayers or network of prayers, then Shreyas is difficult. That's why that alertness all the time to think that I want Shreyas, I don't want the prayers. This should be burning inside all the time. And sometimes body will drag you down. I no doubt about that. Body and the mind is very powerful on us, isn't it? So they'll drag you down. But you should learn to come out of it as quickly as possible. That is, otherwise this Vedantic knowledge will not stay in us. We will become driven by that. So Krishna is also saying here the same thing. That Shishyasteham Shadivam Tvam Prabhanam, Arjuna says to Krishna. So Shreyas and prayers, right? I've mentioned this story before, I'll repeat that story again, so that it will give you some stress on this point what I'm making. One person, he died. So his soul wanted to go. So there were two roads were in front of him. So he naturally came and he looked at the roads. He thought one road was full of potholes and all sorts of problems in one road. The other road looked like a first-class motorway. So he thought, this is the best road, why should I not use it? He said. He got onto the motorway and started driving. Start going on that motorway, just imagine like that. He went for a while. After he saw a huge blue and white board, like you see in the motorways on the top, way to hell. It's kept there. So what to do now? You're on the motorways and you can't even turn back. Start the journey. So he pulled the car to the, what do they call that?
Hard shoulders,
yeah. Pulled the car to the hard shoulders. There was somebody waiting there. Who was there? He was able to talk to him. So he asked the man in the hard shoulders, he says, what is this? He says, is this road? I thought it is a right, better road to travel. I took this road and I came here. The other one I looked at, it was full of, it was not even properly asphalted. It was full of potholes and there was no traffic either. There was no traffic in that. All the traffic was on this road and I thought everybody is using the motorway, why shouldn't I? So I took this road, but it says it's way to hell. He says, so the man said to him, you are right. Actually, this is the way to hell. Because this is the most used road. You know all these big people in the country who tells that they are big leaders and big politicians and all that. They are VIPs, aren't they? So when they come, because their destination is already decided where they have to go. So we thought we'll keep the road also good for them till they get to the destination. The reason why you didn't find anybody on the other road was, there's not many people using that road. And that road, which is full of potholes and full of problems, is the Shreyas. And this motorway, which is very comfortable to drive through, is Prayas. So, Shreyas and Prayas are the two roads. Shreyas is the one, the very difficult road, bad road, you can say, country road or B road or what are they saying. You know, there's no lanes in there and there's no proper signposted even, no traffic lights, not properly installed. All places, zebra crossings, all kinds of things like that. Well, this is motorway, straight go to hell. The other one was meant for going to heaven. And there's not many on that road. There's not many coming on that road. Everybody is using this because this is what they are qualified to have. They come here and VIPs also come on the same one, he says to him. So, Eshrayasan Nishidam Bruhidanme Shishyasteham Shadimam Tvam Prapannam. So, we also do the same thing. As soon as our senses pulls us, we'll take the motorway route, prayers route. The route of the senses, driven by the senses, drive us through the routes of prayers. The Sarathi intelligence, charioteer like Krishna's place, if he is properly there, he will drive us through Shreyas. That's most important. So, Eshrayasham Nishayam Bruhidanme Shishyasneham Shadimam Tvam Prapannam. Arjuna was holding on to Krishna's lotus feet and asking him, up to this time, you are my friend, you are my sakhav, you are my associate and all that. At this point in time, Krishna's position has gone up. From the position of a friend, it has gone up to the position as a teacher or the spiritual master. So, Krishna has now, as the word has indicated, that if you have accepted somebody like that, that relationship is a very serious relationship with the spiritual master and the disciple. And one who is already ready to be disciplined, he is a disciple. Otherwise, he is not a disciple, isn't it? So, if there is no disciplining going on in life, and there is no personal relationship with the disciple and the spiritual master, then that relationship also won't mean anything. You can see here, from now on, Arjuna and Krishna were purely speaking from that level. Krishna is continuously instructing Arjuna. And Arjuna is also asking questions where we had difficulty to understand. Whatever the spiritual master has done, the understanding here from the disciple side is, he knows about me better than me. Better than me, he knows about me. And therefore, when I surrender unto him, this is the only shelter I have. I have no other shelter. And my nature is that this is if this situation doesn't happen in life. This is also we have to look at, isn't it? You see, I'm not criticizing people on what's going on today, but at the same time, if you make things user-friendly in spiritual life, it's going to cause problems. It's not user-friendly. You must remember that. It's not user-friendly. Spiritual life is not user-friendly. Spiritual life is what it is. You have to come to that point. We have made it user-friendly now. That's what we have done. I mean, computer people understand that language better. That we make everything user-friendly. That is, this mentality is in us, isn't it? To do everything user-friendly. So, what we have done with spiritual life is also, we make a list of people. These are all the gurus. And we make another list. These are all the disciples. And we have a meeting sometime and tell the people that, look, you've got this list in front of you. You can pick one from them who you want. And you also have to... This is all you have to do. Somebody else is telling you that. Somebody else is telling you. The guru himself is not telling you that. Somebody else is telling you that this is how you have to prepare for the to receive the instructions from the guru. Yeah. And it becomes a course and seminar and all that. You know how it all happens. But if this basic connection between the guru and the disciple is not retained properly, somebody else comes in between, it's not a good thing. Because then it becomes an institutional thing. It ideally, strictly, it has to be a personal relationship between the spiritual master and the disciple. Nothing else can come in between that. Because he is surrendering to that person. He is surrendering his ego to that person. And he is expecting that he will be protected and sheltered by under his guidance. Now, in the modern scenario, we have deviated from this to a large degree. And we are forcing people to take shelter and inviting people to take shelter in this way. And then you are trying to bring rules and regulations to them, telling them, no, rules and regulations, yesterday we were discussing this. None of them has any value in this. No rules, no regulations. What is important? Are you ready for surrender? That is the first question. Are you ready for surrender? And as much as you are, there is nothing higher than that, that will reveal the truth to you. It is that surrender at that point that reveals the truth from inside. For a jnani, for a person who is looking for spiritual knowledge, if this stage, if he has not met a person whom he can surrender to, doesn't matter, Shastra has given provision for all that. Shastras are saying, take that instruction from inside, will come to you if you are genuine. Atmano Guru Atmaiva. Krishna has spoken this in the Bhagavatam. Atmano Guru Atmaiva. The Atma inside will become your teacher at that point. Till eventually he will lead you to someone where you can surrender your ego. That happens. That is why at different levels there is no point in rushing to things like this. This is not something like a course and seminar. This is your lifelong affair. Life business this is. The whole life goal is centered around this. Atmano Guru Atmaiva Purushasya Visheshada Pratyakshanam Anumanabhyam Shreyaso Anuvindada. He says this to Uddhava. Atmano Guru Atmaiva. Inside that super soul inside, he will be guiding you. You see, normally what's happening, strictly speaking from the Shastram, Guru is forcing your attention from outside to inside. Once you are inside, it is him who is taking care, inside that super soul who is present there, that he is taking care of your spiritual needs after that. Guru's duty is to shift your attention from outside to inside. The mind which has gone after the material life in this world and which has been looking for happiness all over the world, at some point in time when Arjuna has reached this crisis, when he surrendered to Krishna, what did Krishna do? First thing Krishna did was took his attention to the soul, not to the body anymore. No more external instructions after that. All inside related to the soul, nothing else. That's why all the verses from now on you will notice Krishna's powerful influence coming through that to Arjuna, and what made Arjuna to think twice before he takes any more from there. So you can see this. The process, if you look in Bhagavad Gita carefully, you will notice it's not something we can make it on a massive scale like that. It causes problems. So everybody gets confused then, isn't it? Everybody gets confused. Some people had in our ISKCON 4 gurus, one after the other. Okay? One fell, second fell, third fell, like a cricket match. Wickets were falling all the time. Yeah. Every time wicket falls, he says, I already knew that this will happen. So what was going on? Yeah. I'm not finding fault with individuals. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. This happened in history. Therefore, I can say this. Yeah. 3-4 times they have fallen, one after the other. And if you remember, that verse we were discussing in the Bhagavatam last time, you remember that Abhidibhavalogamme Nobayunjyal Nivedida Kratasya Abharigirtanam Abhidibhavalogamme Nobayunjyal Nivedidam. In that verse, if you read the purport there, what is written there, you will see that Hridayananda Maharaj has written there that this way Krishna consciousness is practiced, and the two best examples he says, gives two people there, mentioned there. One is Kirtanananda Maharaj in New Vrindavan, and another one is Bhavananda Maharaj in Mayapur. This is both these places, these two personalities have developing spiritual life in an extraordinarily higher level, exactly like it is mentioned here and all that. What happened? After a few years, Kirtanananda Swami fell. He fell. And not only that, he got implicated in so many other crises, and he had to go to prison, and many years he spent in the prison. and then he came out. Now he lives in Haridwar. So it doesn't matter. It happens to people. It's not something that you can avoid. Anything can happen to anyone in spiritual life. But important thing is, when we study Bhagavad Gita, you should not bring it to our level. That at least we should be careful. If I start reading Bhagavad Gita and start thinking I am self-realized now, and start to show to others that I am self-realized, that is wrong. I should know my limit, where what I can say, what I cannot. It's rather you respect Bhagavad Gita and keep its position where it is, and recognize our humble position where we are and live in that situation till we come to that. But we were all in such a hurry. Kirtananda Maharaj went like that. Bhavananda Swami also left and gone. And then he can come back now after many years of exile and all that. But that's okay. That's something happens to people in spiritual life. They have done a lot of service also to Krishna. Not denying that. Huh? They had been very loyal and done a lot of service to help Prabhupada in establishing ISKCON. But what I'm saying is, when it comes to spiritual life, we must be very careful that not to think about something what we are not. What we are not. We are what we are today. In this body, very much controlled by mind and senses. And in order to, when Arjuna is saying to Krishna that that he knows about me more than I do about myself, that's the way Arjuna is surrendering. And we all have to come to that point before we make that surrender. That unless I have that faith in the spiritual master, that he knows about me, more than now, what's happening? The system is getting changed very often. It is not a good system when we say that, oh, it's been recommended by somebody else. And no, you have to have the direct experience of the person whom you are trying to give spiritual life to or spiritual instructions for. So this is the possibility of Sharanagati. So Sharanagati or surrender to a person is good for bhakti. It's very good if you can surrender to a person in whom you have complete faith and surrender, to whom you can surrender to. If you don't have that person, please don't do it artificially. It will all help. It will not work. Even in that situation, the right thing to do is, depending on that guru insight for instructions to come, and continue with the spiritual life till he helps you with that person whom you have to, you come to that point. The reason that you haven't found that person yet or not is due to you are not ready for it. Material attachment is very strong, the proper renunciation hasn't happened, or the prarabdham is also holding back to some degree in material life. Whatever it is, purification will carry on happening whether you are initiated or not if you chant the holy name. Holy name, this is why this holy name is important. Chanting Hare Krishna is not a loss under any circumstances. It will always elevate you. More purity will happen inside. And in due course of time, that solution also will come from inside. Krishna has already recognized that you are serious about spiritual life, that you are looking for the truth. And if that understanding has come, Krishna, from Krishna's side also, support will start coming. That only you will see when it comes. How it comes. You will never know how it comes. It starts coming in different ways. So, none of these things are, you have to keep shelter of that guru inside and continue your spiritual journey. So, if you look into Srimad Bhagavatam, Matsyavataram, the fish incarnation, remember? Now, who was that fish? Only if you read it carefully, you will notice that the fish incarnation is nothing but guru. Guru's position. Achakshurandasya Kridagrani. We have talked about this before. Guruhu. Achakshurandasya Kridagrani Guruhu. Guru's role is discussed there. Guru's role is discussed there. Now what you will say there is Achakshurandasya. Once it so happened, all the blind people call for a meeting. I mentioned this before. All the blind people call for a meeting. And in the blind people all together, they sat together. And the leader of the blind group says to them, so far in our history, in our union, in other words, whatever it is, the blind lead group, men's group, he's saying that we were always guided by someone who has got, who is not blind. Yeah, he was guiding us. This is not a good situation, he says. the leader is saying. This should not continue anymore, because why should we surrender to someone who has got eyes, who is seeing? We have got our own, we may not be seeing anything, that doesn't matter, but at least it is our union, the blind men of union, right, like TUC and all that. And so he says, why should we accept that authority? So from now on, we won't accept any authority. From now on, we will be our own authority. But what will happen, he says here, that all of them go together, led by this blind man. Because now you don't have to accept anybody else. What will happen? All of them will fall into the same pit, one after the other. So, is it good to have a leader like that? That when you are all blind, and one blind man becomes a leader, what happens? The whole blind situation will happen. Similarly, in spiritual life also, what Krishna says here is that Guru Shishya Bandham, the relationship Guru and Shishya, is also similarly like that. It is not a material thing. It's not Laugigam. It is Yogigam. It's called Yogigam. Yogigam means it is on a yoga platform, this relationship between the Shishya, the spiritual master, and the disciple. It's all completely on a spiritual platform. It's not on a material platform. That's the important thing that is mentioned there. That Yogigam. It is not material, Baudigam. It is not mental, Manasigam. Purely Yogigam. So, when one comes to that right situation, when one has to, one needs that help from the spiritual master, or one is ready for that, to receive that final instructions from the Guru, Krishna will send that person. And at that time, without anyone telling us, you will know that he is your spiritual master. Nobody need to tell you even. To such an extent, it will be clearer. That is what the Upanishad statement about this. Upanishads are saying that this clarity will come to you because of you are qualified for that. At that time, it will happen. Otherwise, without any doubt, it will be clarified. Whatever has to happen will happen. You cannot do anything about it, and everything will happen in a perfect way, because these things are not decided by us. This is also an important point. That who will be your guru, who will take you to the spiritual world or self-realization, how it will happen to you, even that is not in your hands. We have this false understanding that everything is what we do it now, here, and accordingly it happens. No, it's not like that. So many other forces are working behind this, which we are unaware of. Remember, we are part and parcel of Krishna. Krishna is present within us. Do you think Krishna will just leave us free-handed to do what we want and keep away from us? Krishna is not going to do that. Krishna keeps a tight rope on us. The first thing Krishna is check with us, whether has he developed sufficient vairagyam from this world for spiritual life. That's the first quality. Renunciation has happened to him. Or if he is very still attached to material life and material happiness, then Krishna let you go in that route for some more time and then start beating you with distress. First, as I say yesterday, one small distress will come, so you will think a little bit, and then he'll give you, if that's not working, then he'll give you another one little heavier than that. So beating, eventually he will turn your mind away from material happiness towards the spiritual direction. All this is happening under his direction, not your control. You are thinking that I am doing this, I have done this, I met my spiritual master, I did this, I did that. All kinds of things, and I will chant 64 rounds now, and I will come back to Godhead. This, I have been doing this all the time, but nothing has happened. Something else happens in life. So, spiritual life particularly is in Krishna's control. That's not in our control. All we can do is to take these instructions from Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam and try to go closer to it, as close as possible, and not to deviate from that. And Arjuna also has, you can see here, for so long Krishna was his friend, and he was with him all the time, but Arjuna could not see a guru or a spiritual master in Krishna till this point, isn't it? How many years from childhood onwards, while eating, while sleeping, and while joking, all the time this was happening. There's a verse in the first canto, 15th chapter, if you look, verse 18. Narmani begins with that. That verse will tell you what all Arjuna says, I have been doing with Krishna. Because they were such close friends. They lived like that, in that life. But never once Arjuna thought Krishna in terms of as a guru anytime. Always as a friend, isn't it? But now, what has happened to Arjuna? Arjuna started seeing a guru in Krishna. A big change in a life, isn't it? To see in someone as a spiritual master. This is the first thing, the change that has happened to Arjuna. And not only a guru, a Mahaguru and a Sadguru. In other words, a great guru he has found in him. And he, when he started seeing the guru in Arjuna, Krishna, only then he surrendered. Only then he, that's why he's saying, Shishyasteham Shadhimam Tvam Prapannam. Up to this point he was seeing him as a friend or a well-wisher. But now he is seeing him as a spiritual master and surrendering to him. Because who gave that inspiration from inside, from Arjuna to surrender? It is Krishna. That Krishna wanted to make sure that he is ready. Otherwise there is no point in instructing him. He does not want to waste time. And we should not ask that the word that is used is prapatti, prapannam. Prapannam, shtvam prapannam. Shishyasteham Shadimam Tvam Prapannam. I am your disciple, I surrender unto you. That's the word that is used there, isn't it? You may ask the question, some people will say like this, if I surrender unto you, what will happen then? The moment you ask that question, what means you are not surrendered? Isn't it? This is the kind of surrender what we are doing these days. If you are properly surrendered, there is no question after that. Finished, business is over. And that's why Sharanagati is not easy. We think that, oh, I've surrendered to this, I've surrendered to my senses, that's all I've done, basically. Yeah? So surrender is not an easy thing. This one must recognize this. And when early days, I used to remember that our devotees used to go and tell people, you are a karmi working so hard, why don't you surrender to Krishna? Look at me, I've surrendered. And they were only there for 10 years, they have gone. These surrendered souls, they've also gone. So that, what does that show? The understanding of surrender wasn't proper. Not criticizing, but saying the mistakes what we make in our own life as far as surrender is concerned. So, I mentioned this example. One lady came to a Swami and told, he is from the Sri Vaishnava tradition, Ramanujacharya, and they have this system of putting these different symbols on the body as a symptom of surrender. When they make that surrender, they have a process of doing surrender. Sharanagati, they call it. Ramanujacharya has, his disciples have started that. I think Ramanujacharya didn't start that. Much later, Vedanta Deshikar or Pallalokacharya, there are great personalities in that tradition. It's a fantastic tradition as far as surrender is concerned. And they have great love for Krishna in that way. And as a mark of, and they give a lot of respect to the deity and a lot of respect to the spiritual master. The way when they start talking to you, you will be moved by their surrender and moved by their humility, how they talk. I'm talking about the great personalities who appeared in that tradition. And so many language, if you read through the way they have wrote about it and their surrender, you get affected by their surrender. Ramanujacharya's life history, you can buy that, Ramanuja's teachings of Ramanuja or Life of Ramanuja, there is a book. If you read through that, all his associates, Kuratar War, so many Alwars who were present there at that time, and look at the way they used to discuss with Ramanuja about various topics, the amount of respect they had with each other, it's unbelievable that you can come to this level of humility to mutually respect to such a level, and that will immediately affect you, seeing that humility in them. So they have this system of Sharanagati, surrendering like this. And as a mark of their Sharanagati, they put the symbols on the body at different places. So this lady came up and she had a lot of distress in life. Something happened with the children, something happened in family life and all that. She says to the sannyasi that I'm going through all this distress in my life, what shall I do? So the Swami told him, just surrender to Krishna, what else can you do? You know, with your life is like this. And she just tried to pacify her and send her back. She didn't like it, that instruction. She straight away replied, I've already surrendered and then this is happening to me, she says. So then he had to tell her, what's the truth? You're not surrendered. That's why this is happening to you, he says to her. Because surrender means there is no more questioning after that. Anything what Krishna gives you is Krishna's prasadam. Happiness or distress, doesn't matter. To such a level, we have to come down. That ego has to go from inside. The ego inside is very strong. It won't surrender to anybody very easily. When someone says something, we will say, oh, what does he know? Who is he to tell me this? This is how we talk about it, isn't it? And we question everything. But in that case, surrender is not possible. Surrender is not possible. So that's why you cannot surrender to ordinary authority also. It's not possible, isn't it? Surrender to an ordinary person is difficult. He has to be somewhat on a much higher level spiritually to surrender to somebody. Otherwise it's difficult because we haven't got that. Our ego won't allow us to surrender to him. Though, so he says to him like that, he says to her like that, and I also said that this surrender also belongs with that, you comes with this paying obeisances. Paying obeisances without false ego is proper paying obeisances. Otherwise simply paying obeisances is just a exercise. Goes on day after day. That's also not good. Whenever the ahankaram, false ego, originates, if the false ego goes back to the same place, then your obeisances has some meaning. It makes sense. Individuality has to go. That individual, I am this, I am this. Because every time when I say, I am so-and-so, it is my false ego I am identifying with, isn't it? If somebody asks you, who am I? Or who are you? We tell him, I am so-and-so. And shake the hands with him. And in that very word, what I am saying is, I am this false ego. Mr. False Ego meets another Mr. False Ego mutually. That's why. He is not on a spiritual platform. You are not on a spiritual platform. Suppose if I am on a spiritual platform and I tell him I am spirit soul. Glad to meet you, Mr. False Ego. What Mr. False Ego will say to Mr. Spirit Soul? Mr. False Ego will say, I don't want to hear about you, Mr. Spirit Soul. I want to hear what you, Mr. False Ego, has to say to me. Because we are all relating each other in this world on this false ego platform. Not on the spirit soul platform. So that condition will happen. So here, Sharanagati won't happen easily. But when it comes to the point that I can't do anything, only at that point Sharanagati will happen. Then, and with a little story, I'll finish this because we haven't got so much time. When it comes to Sharanagati, you can see in our life how much we put our faith in Krishna. How much faith we put in Krishna. A man went for abseiling with this whole ropes and all that. Yeah. So you know what they do, this abseiling, they throw that thing and then tie it and the rope comes down and he keeps climbing. So while he was doing this, he had somebody to help, but okay, in the modern abseiling, you got all the ropes tied down, isn't it? So in case you fall, you won't fall down. But this person only, he was just trying to climb the mountain. He was an experienced climber and all that. So while he was climbing, when he looked down, it was very, very deep down there, after climbing along. But then he looked upstairs, to the top, he saw the rope with which he was tied to the top. One mouse was biting that rope. And it was almost going to finish the rope. So he thought, now nothing I can do. If it breaks, finished. Nothing is going to happen. So he says to prays to Krishna like this. He says, please protect me. If you protect me somehow from this, as soon as I am escaped and I come out with life, I will surrender to you. He prays to Krishna like this. I'll surrender unto you, he said. So he kept on praying like this. Eventually Krishna felt compassion for him. He says to him, okay, fine, you are surrendering to me. That's nice. Leave that rope, your hand on the rope. He says to him, leave your hand on the rope. So he says, don't play that game with me. Don't play that game with me, he says. I'm not that surrendered, he says. So Krishna says, all right, wait and see what happens. Hare Krishna, we'll see tomorrow. Prabhu ki jai, Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada ki jai.